Chapter 12.
And I'm not gonna lie, say I've been alright, 'cause it feels like I've been living upside down. What can I say? I'm surviving, crawling out these sheets to see another day. What can I say? I'm surviving.
He brings Quinlan to his apartment because somehow asking him to sit down for a drink at the cafe he just left feels wrong. Anywhere is fine, Quinlan says with a hesitant smile when Obi-Wan offers. Just wanted to see you. The words feel true in the Force, and Obi-Wan doesn't doubt them. But there is only one reason why a Jedi would be coming to Melodon unannounced. As he lets the other into his home, he wonders if he should be escorting him to either the governmental building or the spaceport instead. Logically, yes. But he can't. Not when it's Quinlan, and a part of him is so very happy to see his childhood friend. If only he knew how to properly act in this situation, though, because he feels terribly out of his depth. "Have a seat," he says, with a wave that feels awkward. "I'll get us a drink." He glances at Quinlan. 13-year-old him is itching to pull the other into a hug. But he's not 13 with lanky limbs and a pitch in his voice, laughing with his best friend because they've just gotten up to no good. And he hasn't seen the other in over 2 decades, and he's almost sad to admit they might as well be strangers. Quinlan isn't so hesitant. "Come here, Obes," he says with a chuckle, as he drags Obi-Wan into a hug. Both Quinlan's arms and his Force presence wrap around him in a hug that strangely feels like coming home. He leans into it, hoping he won't end up regretting this. For, if given the chance, he'd like to take this as an opportunity to rekindle his friendship with Quinlan. However, there is a Bantha in the room he needs to address before he can even consider catching up on all they missed of each other's lives. So, once he's made them both a cup of tea and they're sitting at the kitchen island, he asks, "Not that I don't appreciate seeing you, but what brings you to Melodon?" Quinlan leans back against his stool with a grin, not at all surprised by the question. "An old friend can't drop by for a surprise visit." Obi-Wan raises an eyebrow. "Well," Quinlan laughs and waves a hand between them. "This is a surprise visit." Obi-Wan is reminded of how they used to play word games, twisting words so that they would always answer a question from a certain point of view. He'd always thought it amused Master Tholme and made Master Jin proud, if only for the exasperation it caused Master Windu. Seems like Quinlan's visit to Melodon is most certainly mediated, and that at least, some things don't change. He curls his lips in amusement. "How annoyed is Master Windu going to be with you?" Quinlan waves a hand in the air. "It'll be worth it," he says with a smile. "I know it's been decades, but it's really fucking good to see you, Obes." Obi-Wan smiles back. "It's good to see you too. How have you been?" he asks. It feels like a stupid question, but what else is there to ask after so long? Quinlan seems to take it in stride. "I'm a master now," he says with a proud grin. Obi-Wan raises an eyebrow in surprise. "They let you train a Padawan?" Quinlan laughs. "That's unfair. I might have grown into a responsible adult." Obi-Wan is about to quip back when he realizes Quinlan is right. What does he know? Just because he used to joke around with the other when they were kids doesn't mean he still has that right now. "Hey, don't get all sad on me now. I was just joking," Quinlan says with a worried frown. "I'm not here to make you feel guilty. Just thought I'd drop by since I'm around." Well, Quinlan's last sentence certainly gets Obi-Wan out of his gloomy mood and back on track. He strokes his beard. "I still don't know why you're on Melodon." Quinlan leans back against his chair, giving Obi-Wan a pointed look. "We both know that you do." Obi-Wan rolls his eyes. "And why are you here, with me?" Quinlan looks sheepish. "I mean, I did really want to see you now that I have the chance. Have a chat, catch up, See if we can maybe stay in touch. A slow grin spreads on his lips. Give you a heads up. About? Quinlan gives Obi-Wan a tight smile. Come on, Obes. You know where this is going, don't you? He meets Sarasi and Neild in Neild's office. Fuck, Neild curses when Obi-Wan has let them know what happened. Do you have any idea what the Jedi will do? Sarasi asks. Obi-Wan shakes his head. It looks like they're still investigating. I haven't heard anything from Cody, so I think it's safe to assume they haven't reached out to the clones yet. Sarasi taps her fingers against the arm of her chair with a thoughtful look. They've known about the chips as long as we have, haven't they? Obi-Wan nods. According to Fives, Skywalker was there when he told Rex about the chips. They must know. Sarasi frowns. I wonder what they found that their investigation is taking this long. We've almost de-chipped a full legion already. It's a good question. Obi-Wan has been wondering the same thing. He knows from the hints that Cody has dropped that whatever the chips will do, it involves the Jedi. But then again, it's not like they'll be made aware of the investigation, and it's only an assumption on Obi-Wan's part that Cody will tell him if the Jedi have reached out to him. It doesn't necessarily have to be true. Neild frowns. What if the Jedi don't want the chips removed? He asks, soft and worried. No, Obi-Wan shakes his head. I'd sooner believe that they're running into a wall with their investigation than that they'd willingly allow the clones to stay chipped. Maybe you don't know the Jedi as well as you thought, Neild says. Obi-Wan glares at his friend and, voice tight, says, I grew up in the temple, Neild. They were my family. They're generals in a galaxy-wide war. The only kind thing is that Neild doesn't angrily add that they're doing this while they'd refuse to fight their war. He doesn't need to say it, though. Obi-Wan grimaces. I don't believe they joined the war willingly. Neild frowns, but it's Sarasi that steps in and asks. They were ordered to. That's the only logical conclusion. Jedi aren't warriors or fighters. They're peacekeepers. They'd never willingly lead a war, certainly not after the Rusan Reformation. Obi-Wan frowns. I don't know what happened, but I know the Jedi. They'd only agree to lead this war if the Senate twisted their arm. Sarasi's eyes widen. Can the Senate even do that? Apparently, Obi-Wan says wryly. The relationship between the Order and the Republic has always been imbalanced, but apparently it's worse than I thought. Neild sighs, loud and exaggerated. He glares at Obi-Wan. Don't make me feel bad for the Jedi Order now. Obi-Wan raises an eyebrow. Only Neild can be stuck on an opinion one moment and reluctantly change it the next. After holding a grudge against them for so long, Sarasi asks with a scoff. Shut up. Neild rolls his eyes, but the fight has gone out of him. So what now? Obi-Wan shrugs. There isn't much we can do, aside from reaching out to the Jedi ourselves. And put all our cards on the table, Neild scoffs. That's a terrible idea. Exactly, Obi-Wan agrees. So we wait. Something tells me the Jedi will come to us. Well, considering you've had tea with their Karkig spy, they already have, Neild snips. You really think it's that easy? Sarasi asks, ignoring Neild to try and avoid an argument starting. They'll calm us and just want to talk. Knowing the Jedi, most likely. It would most certainly be the most peaceful and diplomatic way to resolve the situation. Speaking of diplomatic, Obi-Wan looks at Neild and asks, Will you inform the Council? Then I'll warn Cody. Sure, Neild says with a grin. Tell your boyfriend I said hi. Obi-Wan's first stop when he gets to the Oshirat base is Curie's office. He finds the man at his desk, looking over some reports on a pad. Hello there, he greets as he knocks on the open door. Curie looks up and smiles when he sees who his visitor is. Obi-Wan, come in. He waves a hand at the chair on the other side of the desk. Sit down. Lucky that you caught me doing flimsy work rather than surgery. Obi-Wan sits down. I won't take up much of your time. A new platoon arrived yesterday, right? Yes, last one of the 501st. Curie puts down his pad with a smile. We'll finally have a whole legion de-chipped. a great achievement. If a bit slow, Kiri allows with a rueful smile. Heard from the commander that they'll send the 104th after this. Obi-Wan frowns. Not the 212th. Steady's been de-chipping the men, diagnosing head injuries left, right, and center. If he keeps this up, they might decommission the whole Legion, thinking we must have gone collectively insane. Obi-Wan clears his throat. Speaking of the commander, Kiri does his best to hide his smile, but his eyes still twinkle and his amusement is bubbly in the Force. Yes. Can you get me a secure connection with him? He asks. He doesn't want to risk contacting Cody with his own unsecured comm. Not for this. Kiri sobers almost immediately. Yeah, sure, he says, and opens a drawer on his desk to retrieve a holotransmitter. Something wrong? Obi-Wan grimaces. Probably. Cody isn't surprised by the Jedi investigating Oshirat. Unhappy about the timing, perhaps, but not surprised. He orders Kiri to keep going as normal, and goes on to explain that he and the other CCs are already prepared to speak with the Jedi Council. Have been since the de-chipping started, but that they preferred to wait until they'd reached a certain level of troops de-chipped. They're not there yet, but needs must. Cody's smile is rather pleased as he announces,
I already have a 20-slide presentation prepared to convince the Council that it's beneficial to continue current de-chipping operations on Melodon, plus a request to perform more surgeries on the troops in our own med bays.
Obi-Wan can only hope things are going to be that simple. 3 days later, the Triumvirate receives an urgent invitation for a meeting with the Jedi Council. They agree they'll let Obi-Wan do most of the talking, considering he's the one with some experience with the Council. That doesn't mean the mood in the room is relaxed. Cerasi takes a nervous breath. It can't be too bad, right? I mean, all they want is a holocall. Unless they send in someone to arrest us, Neild mutters. On our own planet, Cerasi asks with a startled laugh. They can't. Obi-Wan shakes his head. We'll be fine, he says. Ready? When both Cerasi and Neild nod, he takes a deep breath and connects the call. It's a good thing they've decided to take the call in the main meeting room. Even in holo form, the full Jedi Council, Jedi Masters Jin and Voss and Commander Cody, would not have fit in Obi-Wan's office. For a moment, he feels like a young initiate again, standing in front of the Council, scrutinized and judged, albeit with kind eyes and good intentions. Now, though, even if the eyes are kind, he wonders about the intentions. At least Cody doesn't appear to be worried. Masters, Obi-Wan greets with a respectful bow. I must say it is a surprise we have been summoned. As he straightens, it is Master Yoda that speaks with a surprising amount of amusement.
A surprise? This is not. We have been investigating Melodon's sudden request for an outpost you initially rejected. Vehemently. No matter how convenient your request was, it certainly roused some suspicion. As it turns out, we were right to investigate.
Master Windu says without preamble. He presses his fingers together and raises an eyebrow as he concludes,
We know about the de-chipping operation on Melodon.
Our sudden change of heart was suspicious enough to investigate, but the chips in the heads of your men weren't, Neild asks, despite their agreement to leave most of the talking up to Obi-Wan. Not that it's an unfair question, but it's hardly a gentle way to start this conversation. Yoda's ears droop slightly at the question.
Aware of the chips, we were not. Report on it, Master Voss did.
Oh, curious that. Obi-Wan's eyes flicker over to Skywalker, whose seat on the Council is a surprise to say the least, as is the fact that he apparently hasn't told the Council about the chips. I've heard from a reliable source that someone on your Council was very much aware of the chips.
An internal matter,
Windu says, dismissing the topic with a neutral expression and a wave of his hand.
What is not, is Melodon's involvement in this highly illegal, highly dangerous operation.
Obi-Wan raises an eyebrow. If you know about the chips, which I am going to assume in good faith the Jedi did not actually request...
Of course we didn't request such a thing,
Master T says, and her heartbreak and anger are clear in her voice. Fleetingly, Obi-Wan wonders what the consequences will be for the Kaminoans for implanting chips illegally and then trying to cover it up. Wonders how the Senate will react, or if the Senate knew all along and just failed to inform the Jedi. Either way, he feels for the clones and the Jedi. This is a mess he's happy Melodon won't be involved in, other than whatever help they choose to offer. "Then I'm sure the Council would agree that it's also highly necessary," he says in reply to T. "We are only doing what's right."
"Undeniable, that is,"
Yoda agrees with a nod.
"Even the Force is quite adamant on that,"
Jin says, giving what is most likely Obi-Wan's hollow an encouraging smile. Obi-Wan gives a tight smile back before turning to face the Council again. "Then may I ask why the Council invited us here? Are you going to help? Are we to stand trial? I assure you, we only have the clones' best interest in mind. Your troops," he adds with a feigned polite smile, "whom I'm sure you care about."
"Peace, Triumvir,"
Master Fisto says, holding up his hand in a gesture of goodwill.
"We didn't ask you here to prosecute or judge you."
Windu rubs a hand over his temple with a sigh.
"Perhaps Master Voss could have broken cover even further during his tea party and assured you of the fact that this whole operation will stay firmly between the Order, the clones, and Melodon,"
he says, giving a chastised Quinlan a pointed look. Quinlan gives Windu a wry smile in reply. "You won't involve the Senate?" Neald asks in surprise and relief. Windu shakes his head.
"We'll all agree secrecy and efficiency is most important in this matter. Involving the Senate is none of those things. In fact, the best thing would be to continue current operations on Melodon, considering you have already established a routine."
Cerasi frowns. "You want us to continue, just like that?"
"Stopping operations now would not only slow down de-chipping,"
Fisto explains,
"it would also put you under suspicion if we suddenly change the rotation so soon after starting it. It must also be said that Master Jin has spoken in favor of keeping operations on Melodon since the start of our investigation,"
T says.
"Right, Master T is. A good impression you made. Master Jin's support you had, even when in doubt the Council was,"
Yoda says, eyes on Obi-Wan.
"It wasn't about the impression Kenobi made on me. It was the right thing to do,"
Jin says, shaking his head. He looks at Obi-Wan with a rueful smile.
"Even if it was almost 3 decades late."
There's a lump in Obi-Wan's throat as he looks at the blue hollow image of Jin. He thinks back to their previous interactions, the man's request to rekindle feeling suspicious more than anything else. He thought the man was trying to get information from him, but now he's left wondering if that was truly the case. Or if Jin had truly only wished to make amends and reconnect. Seeing the man standing between Cody and Quinlan, and knowing he vouched for Obi-Wan, for Melodon, without knowing the full story, it certainly seems more likely than before. Maybe he'll have to reach out to Jin when all of this is over. For now, he swallows a lump in his throat away and manages a soft, "That's very kind." His eyes flicker to Cody, remembering his worries and Kiri's mention about the speed of the de-chipping. He grimaces as he tells the Council, "But there are some concerns with the de-chipping on Melodon." Windu nods.
"Yes. Commander Cody has briefed us of the situation with a presentation. Rather impressive, I must say,"
he says, looking amused.
"The commander has always been an efficient man,"
Jin adds with a proud smile. Cody stands just a tad bit straighter at the compliment.
"We have already discussed signing off on the medical supplies to de-chip on the Star Destroyers. If we combine that with the effort being made on Melodon, we should be able to finish the process within the next 6 months,"
Windu says. He offers Cody an apologetic smile.
"We realize this might perhaps be slower than is desirable, but it is the fastest we can achieve without rousing suspicion. It's still faster than we would have been without your help, General."
Windu gives Cody a nod in reply, and then turns to address the Triumvirate.
"We do ask that you allow us to send a Jedi healer to Melodon to supervise the operations."
Cerasi and Neald's shock and displeasure are clear in the Force, but the request can't be a surprise. Not when they would certainly have made the same request had their positions been reversed. "Who do you have in mind?" Obi-Wan asks. There is a ghost of a smile on Windu's lips as he says,
Bant Eren, I believe you are acquainted.
Obi-Wan smiles at the familiar name. He's happy to hear that Bant became a healer. It's certainly something that fits the sweet Mon Cala. Part of him is also happy it'll be her that gets sent to Melodon. Just like with Quinlan, he finds himself looking forward to reconnecting with someone who he was as close with as a sibling once upon a time. Next to him, Neald and Cerasi both look at him. It's your call, Neald says, and Cerasi nods her agreement. Thanks, Obi-Wan whispers, and then to the council says, If she agrees, Bant would be very welcome on Melodon.
Agrees?
Quinlan asks with a laugh.
She volunteered. So it's agreed,
Windu says. Jin clears his throat.
Actually, Masters, I would also like to make a suggestion.
Obi-Wan doesn't need to be in the room to feel the council's exasperation. Jin, however, is undeterred.
Considering the operations on Melodon have been going for a while, it would be good to have an inspection take place. In fact, it would be most efficient if Commander Cody could take care of this. As Healer Eren is going to Melodon anyway, it would save us sending additional men as escorts. The Coruscant Guard is stretched thin as it is, and I'm sure Commander Fox would welcome the reprieve. What do you think, Commander?
If Cody is surprised at the proposal, he doesn't show it.
We normally do insist on regular inspections for important outposts, so technically I would say we are overdue on the new outpost on Melodon. Qui-Gon,
Windu says with a sigh, looking very much like a man that's aware he is potentially being fooled, but doesn't quite have the full picture yet. Next to him, one of Yoda's ears twitches.
A good idea, I think this is,
he says, looking first at Obi-Wan and then at Cody with a twinkle in his eyes.
Bant Eren, we shall send. Escorted by Commander Cody.
Bant, it turns out, is still as sweet now as when they were children. Obi-Wan, she greets, standing next to Cody on the landing platform and giving Obi-Wan a teasing smile. You've grown. A startled laugh escapes Obi-Wan. More than you, he says. He finds himself grateful for the joke, the lightness of the moment, and Bant's calming, mischievous presence not allowing him to wallow in pity as he had with Quinlan. He wonders if this was an approach they'd come up with together. Bant chuckles, as if she's reading his mind. Then she spreads her arms. Well, come and give this short Mon Cala a hug. Obi-Wan can only oblige, stepping closer and drawing his childhood friend into a hug. It only feels slightly awkward, but most of all, it feels familiar. It's good to see you again, Bant says, smiling at Obi-Wan when she takes a step back. It is good to see you too, Obi-Wan agrees. Quinlan said you volunteered. Bant shrugs with a grin. Well, I didn't want him to be the only one that's seen you again. He'd be insufferable. Well, more than he already is. Obi-Wan chuckles. He really hasn't changed. Not in the ways that count, Bant says fondly, and then turns that fond smile on him. And it seems you haven't either. I hope not, he replies, feeling surprisingly proud at Bant's words. She's always been sweet, but even when they were younger, she never said things to placate people. When Bant says something, she means it. I'm sure you haven't, Bant says, and then turns to look at Cerasi and Neald. Will you officially introduce me to your new family? She asks, and then flashes Obi-Wan a grin. I promise I'll let you kiss the commander after that. Obi-Wan blushes bright red. Bant! At the edge of the landing pad, Neald cackles. Oh, I like her already. Obi-Wan and Cody have dinner in Obi-Wan's room that evening. It doesn't have a dining table, but they're both happy enough to sit with their sides pressed together on the small sofa as they eat their mediocre food. In fact, Obi-Wan prefers this. The closeness, the feeling of Cody's thigh against his, and the other's warmth. The chance to let their fingers brush whenever they want, and steal kisses in between bites, talk, and laugh. There is only one thing he wished she could have done, but it will have to wait. Next time, I'd like to cook for you at home. I've never really cooked a proper meal, Cody admits. Obi-Wan gives him a reassuring smile. I'm not surprised, he says, and traces a finger over Cody's thigh. I'm not a fantastic cook myself, but I make some things well enough. We could make meatballs together, he offers with a shy smile. Cody grins. I might be a terrible cook. Oh well, wouldn't be the first time I burn meatballs, Obi-Wan says with a laugh. You'll want the refectory food if I do. Cody smiles. As long as we get to eat together, I really don't care. He looks at the empty trays in front of them and shrugs. Plus, this food is much better than the crap we get served on the Maverick. At the mention of the Maverick, something comes to Obi-Wan's mind. He turns so he can face Cody, pulling his right leg up on the couch and folding it under him. He grins. Another thing that's better is the fresher. No 2-minute allotment of water here. Cody shakes his head, a fond look in his eyes. You know, everyone would have been fine if you'd taken your time. It wouldn't have felt right, Obi-Wan admits. But, he drawls, and reaches out to curve a hand around Cody's knee. Here, it doesn't matter. Here, now, they can finally take a shower together, like he's been fantasizing about since Cody came to check him out in the Maverick Fresher. Cody catches on almost straight away with a grin and a flash of arousal in the Force. He turns slightly, body angled towards Obi-Wan, and their knees brush. How big is that fresher? Should be able to fit both of us. Then how about we go and enjoy the luxury of unlimited water? Obi-Wan grins as he leans in to kiss Cody. He intends to make it chaste, but Cody is quick to slide a hand in his hair and deepen the kiss with a hungry sound. When the kiss breaks, they're both breathless and the air around them is full of anticipation as they both grin. This time I can even touch, Obi-Wan says. Cody smirks. Oh, you better. Cody leaves for the front, and life continues. As the war effort in the Outer Rim intensifies, calls become less regular. Even messages are few and far between, and the longer the wait for replies becomes, the more anxious the time becomes. There is, however, enough to keep Obi-Wan occupied on Melodon. With Jedi support, the clones' rotation has been shortened to a single week to increase turnaround. There's the refugee situation with Gaul and discussions with the IRCA. Furthermore, just because the galaxy around them is slowly going to hell and giving them lots of extra work doesn't mean they don't have to govern their own planet any longer. There are budget discussions to be had, projects to be run, and a population to manage and comfort. The longer the war drags on, the more worried everyone becomes that soon it will come knocking on their door. It has, miraculously, also increased public opinion of the Oshirat base and Gar presence, which is a relief, at least. But it leads to further discussions and planning to prepare Melodon for a war that will, hopefully, never come. One good thing is his chance to reconnect with Bant. It's been a true pleasure getting to know his childhood friend again, hearing her stories about life at the temple, about everyone he knew growing up. To learn things about Quinlan, especially the things he can throw back into the other's face during one of their chat conversations. Then, one day, Cody comms bearing good news. They have Dooku in custody and are headed to Utapau to catch Grievous. There is cautious optimism in his eyes and careful wonder in his voice as he breathes that finally, the war is almost over. It's become tradition to have dinner with the new platoon the day they arrive in Oshirat. It allows the permanently stationed crew at the base to get to know the men, plus it puts the new arrivals at ease and creates a slightly more relaxed atmosphere. Dinner is planned to start in half an hour, so the mess is still relatively empty. Most men are exploring the base or taking the chance to enjoy some downtime. Melodon's conclave of Obi-Wan, Roeni, Bant, and Kiri are there, plus a handful of troopers. The current platoon is from the 327th. It's the Corps' first rotation, and the men are understandably a little nervous. How is Ayla doing? Bant asks in an attempt to break the ice. It's been so long since I've seen her. Chess, the platoon's lieutenant, looks at Bant with open curiosity. You know the general, sir? I've known her since she was a youngling. Her master is a good friend of mine. Bant turns to Obi-Wan with a grin. Quinlan, she says. He's surprisingly good with kids, although I will admit we were initially a little afraid for Ayla when he took her on as his Padawan. There's a moment of confused silence, and then Chess carefully asks, "Worried how, sir?" Bant grins. "Well, Quinlan is rather... eccentric isn't quite the word, but the amount of trouble he got up to when he was younger certainly earned him a reputation." Obi-Wan chuckles. "Oh, don't you laugh," Bant says, giving him an amused look. "You might have left when you were 13, but that was long enough to be right there with him." Rowenny chuckles. "Why am I not surprised?" Obi-Wan rubs his temple with a slightly embarrassed smile and clears his throat. "We only caused minor havoc. Besides, they were usually Quinn's plans." "Right," Bant drawls, looking at Obi-Wan. Then she turns to the clones. "I'm sure you guys never do such things." It's an obvious joke, but the men hesitantly glance among themselves for a moment. "You don't have to worry," Chess says eventually, even if some of the men are struggling to keep a straight face. He looks around the table and then back at Bant. "The men will behave." Bant waves a hand in the air with a chuckle. "No worries, Lieutenant. I'm just pulling your leg." "They'll be on strict doctor's orders after their op anyway," Kiri says. Clem, a young-looking man, worriedly asks, "Will it hurt? The surgery?" "Come on," the trooper next to him says with a laugh. "You scared?" "No one said it would," another adds reassuringly. "And it won't," Kiri says, giving Clem a small smile. "Tomorrow, each of you will have an individual appointment with either myself, Rowenny, or Bant. We'll explain the procedure to you, and you will have time to ask any questions you may have." Clem relaxes visibly at the news. "Okay." There's a nudge in the Force, a warning. Obi-Wan frowns and glances at Bant. When their eyes catch, she nods. "I feel it too," she says. Chess's Vambrace comm goes off with a beep, and Obi-Wan holds his breath as Chess lifts his right arm to answer. "Lieutenant Chess."
"Execute! Stand down, Captain Lee!"
someone else shouts out on the other side, cutting Lee off. They sound hurried, panicked almost.
"Orders are orders, Commander,"
Lee replies, his voice strangely empty. "Captain Lee? Commander Bly?" Chess asks. Worry is almost tangible in the Force, and Obi-Wan has got a very bad feeling about this.
"No, not my comm,"
Captain Lee shouts suddenly.
"Execute, aha!"
Sounds of a struggle come over the comm for a moment, and then,
"Execute Order 66.
The comm clicks out, and at the same time, the men's presence in the Force blinks out too, like a snuffed candle. Obi-Wan's eyes widen. What the fuck? He's never felt anything like this before, unless the person died. What is going on here? "What's Order 66? Bant demands. Chess doesn't answer. He stands up, chair scraping against the floor as he pushes it back. Without a word, he pulls his blaster out and points it right at Bant. Obi-Wan jumps up, and Rowenny curses to herself. Bant gasps, eyes wide. She stands up, holding her hands in a gesture of calm and peacefulness. "Lieutenant Chess, what's going on?" she asks, and then, with Force intent behind her words, adds, "Put the blaster down." "No!" Kiri shouts at the same time and almost launches himself out of his chair. He pushes Chess back and wedges himself between the lieutenant and the table. "You can't!" The other soldiers sitting around the table stand up as well, hands on their blasters and eyes on Chess, seeming to wait for orders. A flash of panic shoots through Obi-Wan, and it takes all his strength not to drop down into a crouched position and get himself into safety. Rowenny is just as shocked, jumping with a gasp, her chair clattering back against the ground. "What are you doing?" she asks, her voice a terrified whisper. He moves a step closer to her and taps her thigh 3 times. She'll remember the code. "Get ready to hide." He doesn't know what is going on, but it's nothing good. Not with the men's Force presence gone, not with Chess pulling a fucking blaster on Bant. But this isn't war. They aren't the young. They don't have blasters in their hands and vibroknives strapped to their thighs. He stretches his fingers and then clenches his hands. If nothing else, he has the Force. "Orders are orders, Corporal," Chess says, not a single sign of emotion flickering over his face as he regards Kiri. "Get out of the way." Kiri shakes his head. "Bant, he shouts over his shoulder. Get out of here. Before Bant can move, Chess gives a hand signal, and two troopers come and drag Kiri away. No, Kiri cries as he struggles against his brothers. Let me go. If you're not with us, you're committing treason, one of the men holding Kiri says. Lieutenant, what is going on here? Bant demands, and Obi-Wan can see her place her hand on her lightsaber. Let the corporal go right now and explain yourself. Chess looks at her and sneers. We don't have to explain ourselves to traitors. The Force screams in warning. Chess pulls the trigger. Bant has her lightsaber out just in time, ricocheting the blaster fire against the wall. What the? Rowenny ducks down so she's behind the table and gets her comm out. We need security in the mess right now, she says, calling for the squad of Melodani security troopers that are stationed permanently at the base. The clones have turned on us. Terminate the traitor, Chess orders, as he fires on Bant again. That's when things go crazy. Bant ricochets blaster fire from multiple directions, while Obi-Wan force pushes as many men back as he can. Shit! What's going on? Bant demands, deflecting blaster shot after blaster shot, and shit, they're being driven towards a corner. Obi-Wan force throws a chair at one of the men coming in from the side, knocking him unconscious. It's the damned chips, Kiri shouts as he struggles against his captors in an attempt to break free. They can't help it. Rowenny activates her comm again. Try not to kill them, she urgently tells whichever member of the security team is listening. I repeat, try not to kill anyone. Is there nothing we can... Ah! Bant stumbles back with a cry as she misses a blaster shot with her saber, and it hits her in the arm. Distracted, she's not able to deflect the next shot, and it hits her in the chest. She falls down to the ground with a whimper. No, Bant! Obi-Wan shouts, panic rising in his chest, and he force pushes Chess and the three other troopers still conscious away before they can shoot again. He uses the Force to flip the table in front of them on its side, creating a barrier between the clones and them. He doubts it'll hold long. Rowenny is at Bant's side in an instant. I'll take care of you, she says. I'm fine, Bant rasps. Rowenny ignores the lie. Obi-Wan, you protect us. Just like the old days, Obi-Wan thinks, bile rising in his throat. I have no weapon. My saber, Bant says, and uses the Force to nudge it over. He picks it up with his heart in his throat. It feels strange to hold a lightsaber again, the crystal unknown and the weapon an unfamiliar weight in his hand. As he stands up, there are four blasters trained on him. Triumvir Kenobi, Chess says, we're not interested in hurting you, but if you don't step aside, we will eliminate you. A shudder runs down Obi-Wan's spine at how empty Chess's eyes are. It's terrifying what a single chip implanted in someone's brain can do. And he doesn't want to hurt the clones, but... I won't let you kill Bant, he says, and ignites Bant's saber. Fine, Chess grunts and shoots. The other troopers follow. He deflects two blaster bolts, but a third grazes his temple. He flinches back. Fuck, he isn't smooth and practiced like Bant. He can't do this. The next blaster shot, he just barely deflects, hits the bulkhead. The bulkhead the base's engineer had said was a hazard with how badly it was attached to the ceiling. Just two attachment points, the man had said with a shake of his head. Damned thing can come down any day. Two, he thinks. That's manageable. He hopes. He deflects the next shot to one of the bulkhead's attachment points. It misses spectacularly. Another shot follows, and another, and... burning pain shoots through his left shoulder, and a cry is forced out of him. From the corner of his eyes, he can see Kiri break free from his captors, punching one of them right in the face and knocking him down. In his distraction, he misses Chess shooting again. By the time he realizes, it's too late. The shot hits him in the chest, and then another. Pain shoots through him, burning, searing, agonizing pain that forces him down to his knees with a garbled gasp. The door opening is a faraway sound as he whimpers. Drop your weapons, someone's shouting. Multiple people are. There is a struggle, but Obi-Wan doesn't have the energy to raise his head. He presses a shaking hand against his chest. It's warm and wet. Get a medic in here. Let me through. I'm a doctor. Obi-Wan blinks slowly. Is that Kiri? Get on the ground. The Triumvir is dying. Is he? Kiri has never sounded so panicked, but is that really necessary? There's no real pain anymore. He's shaking, though, and suddenly so very tired. Let him through, Rick. Footsteps clack, clack, clack against the tile floor as someone is running. The same tile floor that he collapses onto with a wet, pained grunt. The tiles are cool against his face. Maybe if he closes his eyes, he can take a nap. He's tired. So tired. Does that mean he's dying? Hands on his shoulders, turning him around slowly and gently before they push his hair out of his face. Obi-Wan, hang in there. Kiri? Yes. A hand on his chest, skirting around the wound. Ah, the blaster shots. Like lightning, the pain is back, shooting through him, burning him like tears burn in his eyes and a gasp burns in his throat. We've got medics on the way. It's fine, he whispers hoarsely. If he dies, he dies. No one's ever truly gone. It's fine. No more pain. He's tired. Stay with me, Kiri insists. Come on, the commander is always saying you can be so stubborn. Cody, Obi-Wan whispers. Hyena bombers passing over at too low an altitude. An explosion. People screaming. Zahava destroyed. Smoke in his lungs. Ash in his mouth. Tears in his eyes. Cody, Cody, Cody. It's fine. Just breathe, Obi-Wan, Kiri says. Did he get up? He sounds so far away. The medics will be here in just a few seconds. Seconds. He's not sure if he has seconds. He forces his eyes open. Kiri looks down at him. He looks like Cody, minus the fond warmth in those amber eyes, minus the scar. Obi-Wan raises a shaking hand, trails a finger down the curve of Kiri's left eye where Cody's scar would be. His beloved Cody. Tell Cody, I'm glad it's not him. Tell him yourself, Kiri says. He sounds like he's begging. The world goes black. End of chapter 12.
Oh, what can I say? I'm surviving. And I'm gonna be fine, I'm gonna be fine. I think I'll be fine.